Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 47 of season 2. This week we are studying the book of James. And let's talk a little bit about the Apostle James. It's the only book that he has in the New Testament, and Christian tradition holds that he was one of the children of Joseph and Mary, thus being a mortal half-brother to Jesus Christ. He was not an apostle during Jesus' mortal ministry, but he became one later. And it's interesting that as he introduces his epistle, it's clear that his humility overwhelms any desire for recognition. In James chapter 1, verse 1, we read, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So not only does he not mention his significant role as an apostle of Jesus Christ, only calling himself a servant, but he declines to mention his very unusual relationship to Jesus, probably having been raised in the same household. There are only a few people in the history of the world who can claim such an experience, and yet James makes no mention of it. It really is a testament to his humility and what appears to be his singular devotion to the work of bringing souls to Christ. The book of James is sometimes referred to as wisdom literature. As one reads it, it's reminiscent of the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. It's just full of simple truths that can be used to improve our lives. In my reading of the New Testament, the book of James also stands out because of its focus on works. There's a lot of teaching on what we need to do in order to qualify for happiness in this life and eternal life in the next. Many of the Pauline epistles that we've been studying to this point focus more on faith and belief and less on works. And it's important to understand how equally necessary these two concepts and principles are. They are things that we've repeatedly talked about in the podcast, and they have both spiritual and mental health application. In the spiritual realm, we have to have faith in order to understand and believe truth. Once we know what is true, then we exercise our agency to act in righteousness. And in the mental health realm, as we seek to improve our mental health, we need to understand true things about ourselves and discard inaccurate patterns of thinking, and then we take what we've learned and we do our part to better our lives. Both patterns involve learning, believing true things, and then acting. Perhaps one of the most well-known scriptures to Latter-day Saints is found in James chapter 1, verse 5, and it reads, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." That was the scripture that Joseph Smith read that inspired his action, and at what point he received the first vision. Joseph Smith followed the pattern. He learned true things, he changed old beliefs, and then he acted on the new things that he had learned. Improving our mental and emotional health requires action on our part. Learning new things is good, but if they aren't acted upon, then they are less likely to lead the change. Whenever I teach at firesides or conferences, I almost always ask the following question at the outset of my teaching. I ask my students, based on what you learned today, what are you going to do differently in your life? And then I ask the same question again at the end of the teaching. I say, based on what you learned today, what are you going to do differently in your life? I encourage people not only to pay attention to learn something new, but then to use that new knowledge to change something in their life. As we've discussed before, small changes are usually the best kind of changes, and that's almost always what I recommend to my students. If they're thinking about making some sort of change, make it small and sustain it over time. We know that small changes can have a very strong effect over time, and they're usually easier to sustain and to do over weeks and months. In chapter 2, James emphasizes the relationship between belief and action. Starting in verse 14, we read, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man shall say, he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Faith and knowledge of truth is a critical first piece, and we can't act correctly without it. But if we stop at just mere belief and we don't act, then we will not likely make much progress. And that's another thing that I often mention to those that I teach. I tell them that as they listen to what I say, they will probably learn some good things during the lesson, and they might even feel inspired about some things. But if they don't act on the things that they learn, then they're not going to change. James teaches the principle of action once again in chapter 4, starting in verse 7. It reads, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Now take notice of the pattern here. The devil flees from us only after we submit ourselves to God and resist the adversary. God draws near unto us after we draw near unto him. And you'll find this pattern throughout Scripture. We ask first, and then we receive. We knock first, and then doors will open. We seek first, and then we will find. It's the action that comes first. And action is a critical part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why moral agency is such an essential part of the great plan of happiness. That's why it was such a big deal in the pre-existence to preserve that moral agency, notwithstanding Satan's rebellions. One of the most important things to remember about emotional and behavioral change is that it can take a long time, especially when dealing with well-established patterns. If you decide today that you're going to follow some good counsel you received and you're going to do something that's going to help you be less anxious or less depressed, it's going to work, but usually not right away. We need to be patient and persistent as we strive to make changes in our lives. It's through that patience and persistence that we will eventually reach the goals that we want. James teaches about patience in chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. It reads, "Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." He says, we count them happy that endure. And I second that. The process of change can be long and painstaking, but it is available to all who make the extended effort. And that's one of the most important things to understand about mental health is that when we have issues that we have been struggling with for a long time, they are not likely to change right away. Even when we're doing the right things, they are not likely to change right away. And I think in some ways that's good news because the longer we do something, the more habitual it's going to become for good or for bad. And so when we get in these habits, these good habits of trying to change our thoughts and trying to do good things, not only is it going to have the ultimate result of improving our mental and emotional health, but it's also going to train us in habits of diligence and faithfulness and patience. There's all these kind of collateral benefits that come from that, and I like that. And I want to be a voice of encouragement to everyone who's listening, basically just to say you can do it. Setting and achieving goals is something all of us can do. We need to correct our thoughts, make plans for change, act on those plans, and then ask for help from others as needed. When you combine your efforts with the strength of others, and especially the Savior, you will find success on your path to personal and spiritual improvement. I always end my episodes with an invitation to act, just like we talked about today. If you don't do something about it, then it's less likely to change. And I invite anyone who's listening just to give prayerful consideration to which of these invitations would be good for you. This week's invitation is as follows. In some area of your life, I'd like you to follow the process of change that we've discussed in this podcast. Here are the questions to ask yourself about this. What is one simple, positive change that I'd like to make in my life? What do I need to do to make that change? What help outside of myself can I access to help make that change? And how can I be accountable to make consistent progress towards that change? I have free worksheets you can download to help you remember and implement the weekly invitations. To find out how to get these, just sign up for my email newsletter. You can find that link in the show notes. Also, please subscribe so you can easily access new episodes each week. And please share this podcast with others if you find it helpful. And there's written transcripts of the podcast. You can find a link for that in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.